Hope you guys had some good conversations together. I'm going to start off by just sharing a bit about me growing up. Some of you know me now, and you've heard some of my stories, and you see who I am, but I wasn't always like this. So for me, growing up in school, I was super shy. I was so quiet. And when I tell people now that I'm an introvert, they don't always believe me because I love people. But growing up in school, you know, our teachers told us, they were like, hey, you know, don't talk during class. And I was like, yes, I don't have to say anything to any of these people. And so I was literally like silent in class. I wouldn't say anything. I would try and like gesture to like get people, you know what I was saying. And it was so bad. In fact, my nickname for some people was Quiet Boy. Like, there were people who chased me around at recess because they'd never heard me talk. They were trying to get me to talk so they could hear my voice. So I was that shy, that quiet. And even when I got to college, I was the guy who was like, oh, I'm just gonna shut my dorm room door. I'm gonna like do my homework. I turned down like pretty much any social engagement. Until I met my now wife, and then I was like, homework? What homework? I don't know. But I was like, just hunkered down. To me, like, people were scary. People were unknown. They took like time and energy from me. So I was like, no, I'm good doing my own thing. So I say all that to say, like, as we're talking about this, like, I'm not the guy that you would pick to send out. Right, like I'm not the guy I would have picked and said, like, that's the guy who should go, you know, tell all these strangers all these things about Jesus, right? Yeah, the birds are active. So like I'm not the ideal candidate, but I said yes. Okay, so we're gonna jump into the passage and we're gonna see how Jesus approaches this. So starting at verse 1 here in chapter 10. Says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. And as I read this week, as I was preparing, I just love this verse because it's like, oh man, these aren't like the 12. These aren't the apostles. These aren't the guys who are closest to Jesus. This is like 72 other people who they're following Jesus, but they're not like the ones that have been the most trained. You know, he's telling them, hey, I sent the 12, but like, you guys can do this too. Like, anybody can do this. And so I love that. Like, we can all do this. And the way we learn, I've been finding as I do this more and more, is we learn by actually making mistakes. And then Jesus teaches us more and more as we go, right? We just take the next step, take the next step. And so I'm gonna share a couple stories about that. One I've shared here before is a little bit embarrassing, but it's the tamale story. So I was at work and, you know, every Monday I do a 24-hour fast. I just drink water. And I was at work getting toward the end of my fast and we had a meeting. So it was me and three other coworkers and one of them brought in tamales and four plates. I was like, oh no, like I'm not eating food. And I had a choice in that moment. Like, am I going to eat the tamales or am I going to say, no, you know, I'm fasting. And so what did I do? I picked up that fork and I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh God, I feel so bad. Like I'm fasting. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me after and he's like, that was an opportunity. You know, you could have told them, no, you know, I'm on this spiritual fast. And they'd be like, oh, like, tell us more about that, right? I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But I wasn't prepared in the moment, you know? And so about a week later, I had another opportunity where a coworker was talking to me about food. And I'm like, no, I'm fasting. And so it's like this journey of, hey, you just take the step, you make mistakes, and then he'll teach you as you go out. And then also, you know, Jared's taking us on his prayer walk thing this weekend, but he's encouraged me for the past couple weeks. Hey, go just into your neighborhood and, you know, knock on people's doors. So I've been bringing cookies to our neighbors because I've wanted to meet our neighbors for a long time. And so bringing them cookies and I was like getting their names and, oh, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. And then some of you guys met James. He was here like 3-4 weeks ago around New Year's. And he's a missionary to Japan and he's training other churches to do this kind of stuff in Japan. But he got up and he shared and Jared connected me with him. And I actually met with him that night after I'd brought all these cookies. I was like, I met all these neighbors. I did so great. And he's like, oh yeah, like meeting your neighbors and praying for them is like a really good like strategy. I was like, wait, pray for them? I was like, oh no, God, like I went out, I did all this stuff, I did all this work, I was so tired afterwards, and I didn't even pray for them. And I was like, God, it was such a waste of time. Like, I should have waited, I should have this, that. And he's like, no, like, you took the step, you had breakthrough by just like gaining that confidence that you can go out and talk to strangers, knock on their doors. I was so scared when I went out and knocked on neighbors' doors. I was like, oh man, I don't know who's behind that door. I don't know what they're gonna say. I was like, no, you did it. And so I kept going out, and the next time I would offer to pray for people. And so it's okay to be in this learning process with all of this. So let's go verse 2-4. It says, these were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. So Jesus uses the word go here, right? And it's the same word we see in the Great Commission. He tells us, go, share the gospel. And this has been convicting to me because so often I'm like, oh, people need to come. I was like, no, we have to go. And not only that, but he tells them also, pray that workers go out. So it's like this beautiful dynamic of, hey, pray for workers to be sent, and then go out and do it yourself too. And so I think, you know, if I just go out myself, it's not enough, right? The harvest is too big. But if I just pray that people go out, then I'm not actually doing what I'm asking him to do in others, right? And so it's important that we both pray and that we go. And I think I would add to this too, you know, in addition to pray, we should be ready to take others with us, to train others, and to really help those people that we see, hey, are eager to do this. Like, hey, here's how you do it. Now, I was blessed with Jared, you know, over the years that we've known each other, we would do these prayer retreats and he'd be like, okay, like, let's go pray for people now. And I botched it a ton because he would model it for me. And he's like, you're going to pray for this guy next. And I would like walk past him and Jared's like, what did you do? I was like, I didn't know what to say. And so it's like this, but I'm so grateful that he invited me in and he modeled it for me. He took me on this journey of like, hey, here's how we go out. Here's how we pray for people. Here's how we engage people. So for me, part of what this has looked like is I teach at a public high school, and I've had students, you know, last year, and they would read their Bibles in class. I'm like, do math. They're like, well, I'm just reading my Bible. I'm like, oh, that's good. But so I asked them, hey, let's come talk at lunch. You know, I want to hear your story. And then it turned into this year, we're doing DBS like we just did here, and we're getting in the Word, and I'm teaching them, hey, here's how you go create more DBSs. Here's how you raise up leaders to go reach their friends and for them to reach their friends and family. And I'll say, like, I'm totally learning as I'm going. I've never done this before, but I'm praying, you know, that they would be sent. Like Jesus says here, pray for workers. I pray for them every week, like, God, equip them, send them. And then I'm meeting with them weekly, like, okay, where are you guys at? Here's your next step. Here's how we do this. How can I support you? So it's both of those dynamics. Pray, go yourself, and then train those people that are sent to you. And then I love this part of the passage. It says, you're going to go out as lambs among wolves. It's like, wow, Jesus, way to encourage me. I'm so encouraged now, right? But expect resistance, right? As we go out, not everybody's going to say yes. Some people aren't going to be too excited about what we have to share. And that's okay. He's with us, right? And then Jesus says, he said, don't take anything, which I love because it's like, oh, God's going to give me what I need. That's material things. It's also, you know, words to say. It's also experience, right? So as we go, he's going to give us that stuff. And then finally, he says, don't greet anyone on the road, right? So it's just stay focused on the mission. I know for me, like on Saturdays, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make cookies. I'm going to go out, talk to neighbors. My brain is like, nope, I don't like that. That, you know, scary. And so I have to like talk myself into it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to like dump the sugar in the bowl and I'm committed. Like, I've gotta, if I bake the cookies, I have to give them away. You know, I'm fasting, I can't eat them, so I gotta give them away. So it's like, how do you keep yourself focused? And for me, part of this is, again, when I met with James, he's like, man, what if you just pray for your coworkers at work, just offer to pray for them? I'm like, cool. So like, that's my goal this year, is like praying for them. And God's already given some really cool opportunities. I've had two separate coworkers, one that I've had started having some spiritual conversations with, and I've been praying like, God, would I be able to start a DBS with this guy? And so when I got back to work after Christmas, I offered, I was like, hey, how can I pray for you? He's like, yeah, pray for me for this. And then he asks me, he's like, hey, can we read the Bible together? I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Like, he beat me to it. So this is our second week of, we're reading the Bible together at lunch, and I'm just praying for him, his salvation, and that he would just come to know Jesus. And then another coworker, you know, as I go out and as I just offer to pray for people, she was like, yeah, pray for my kids. I'm like, cool. And then I'm like, okay, God, like, I feel like there's an opportunity here. I don't know where to go from here. I've never done this before. And God is just telling me, he's like, hey, ask her, do you teach your kids about God from the Bible? I was like, okay. Because for us in our marriage, like, we've seen that really help our kids grow in character and mature. And so I found her the next day at work and I asked her, and she's like, no, we're agnostic. But we had this great conversation about how they want to take their kids to church and they're spiritually hungry. And she even asked me, she's like, hey, do you have any resources? What'd she call it? She said, for spiritual, like, newbies. And I was like, yeah. So I gave her the DBS questions. And I'm kind of coaching her now. Like, how does she do a DBS with her family? So that's how, like, we can go out and it's like, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but you're going to give me what I need. And I'll say too, these two coworkers in particular, I've been praying for about 6 months. I'll pray for them every day. And I'm now like starting to see fruit. So as you pray for people, just pray in faith that God's moving. As I talk with them, I'm like, oh, God's been moving behind the scenes like all this time. And now we're starting to see the fruit of all that prayer. So keep praying for people. Cool. So let's go to verse 5 to 7. Jesus says, whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. So I love, Jesus is being really clear here. He's saying like, do this, say this, say this. And if you notice, he says, first say, what does he say? May God's blessing be on this, may God's peace be on this house. And so when I was talking to James, James was saying, you know, when you go out, he said, you want to plant the flag early. I was like, James, I have no idea what that means. Like, what are you talking about? Maybe Ethan knows what I mean. He's like, oh, what plant the flag early means is you tell them right away, like in the first 5 minutes you meet somebody, that you follow Jesus. I was like, what? Because I've always heard like, you got to build relationship, you got to build trust, you got to take all this time, and then eventually you can share the gospel. And he helped me see like, when they take that approach, oftentimes they'll invest in somebody for years or decades, and then they'll finally share the gospel, and the person's like, no. And I was like, you could have been focusing on people who were spiritually hungry, who were open, right? And so it's changed my approach. So now as I go in my neighborhood door to door, I give them cookies, I greet them. I'm like, hey, we're neighbors, we live right there. Kind of chat for a minute. And then I just tell them, I'm like, hey, we follow Jesus, you know, my kids and I, and we just want to know, can we pray for you? Can we, you know, bless your family in any way? And a lot of people are like, oh yeah, thank you. And some people are like, no, I'm good. But it really helps us know like who to follow up with and who's hungry spiritually. We can really filter in that way and then follow up with those people who are hungry. And then he says, God's peace be on this house, right? So it's blessing them. So that's why we say, hey, can we pray? We want to bless you guys. We want to bless your home. There's a really good book I read recently. It's called What Actually Starts Movements. It's by a movement researcher named Emmanuel Prins. So he actually does really in-depth research of movements all over the world. And they came to this conclusion as they were doing their research. They found that even in the hardest places where people are the most resistant to the gospel, there's always at least 2.5% of people who are open to spiritual change. So that's about like 1 in 40 or more that are open at any given time. And so my goal has become, when I go out, it's, okay, where are those people? Where are those people who God's already moving on and they're ready and they're open? So those two coworkers I shared with you, you know, we have like probably 40 staff at our school. I found two people who are open to spiritual change, who are ready for talking about God, reading the Bible. And then Jesus says here, he says, stay in one place. So the goal is, if people are open, if people are hungry, then commit to them, right? Establish with them. So with these coworkers, I'm like, man, I'm going to do DBS with you as long as it takes. Like, as long as you're still good to do it, I'm doing it. It's not like, okay, that was interesting, moving on. Or if we're going to the neighborhood, it's, okay, if there's a home that's ready to do DBS, okay, we're going to stay, we're going to coach you, we're going to teach you and train you, and we're just going to invest. So that's what we've been doing as we're going house to house. We're trying to find those people that Jesus talks about who are open and who are ready to, you know, read the Bible with their family and friends and really learn more about God. All right, so we're going to go to verse 8 to 11. We'll finish it off here. It says here, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of the town from our feet to show that we've abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. Well, so a couple thoughts from this section. One, Jesus says, heal the sick. That's another reason when we go out, we pray for people. And we'll ask them, hey, do you have any sickness or anything you need prayer for? Because that can really open people's hearts when you pray and they get healed. All of a sudden, like, wait, tell me more about who God is. And then Jesus tells them, tell people the kingdom of God is near you now. It's kind of an interesting statement, right? Like, what does that mean? And as I was reflecting on this, I was like, oh yeah, the Bible says in Luke 17:21, it says, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. So actually, when I show up, when you show up on someone's doorstep or you're having a conversation with them, the kingdom of God is near because it's in you, right? You showed up and the Holy Spirit's right there. So you can have faith and they can have faith that God is wanting to touch them through you. And then this last thing has been so helpful for me. He says, you know, if a town refuses to welcome you, just wipe the dust of your feet off. And when I was growing up, I think the approach was like, man, you convince someone, you work with someone until they accept Jesus, right? You like make it happen. And what I'm learning is, again, like I said, find those people who are hungry. If they're not open, I've had a bunch of people, I say like, hey, can we pray for you? They're like, nope, I'm good. And it's like, cool, like, nice meeting you. We'll see you around. And we go to the next house. And we're just looking for those people who are hungry. So it takes the pressure off me to feel like, oh, every person I talk to has to accept Jesus or something has to happen. But I can still pray for them that, hey, in time, they're going to be open and God's going to send people to them when they're ready. Okay, so before we get to kind of our application here, I'm going to nerd out with you on some math just for fun because I teach math. So no sermon of mine will be complete without a little math. But I think Jared's told us there's about like on average 30 or so of us here. And I was doing a little math, right? So I was thinking, well, who could disciple one person a year? Who has the capacity for that? Cool. So if each of us just says, hey, every year I'm going to disciple one person. I'm going to teach them to make disciples too. And if those people we disciple one person per year, in 15 years, how many people do you think we'll have discipled and reached? Any guesses? And I'm putting you on the spot. It's like bad teacher move, but 2,000? 100? Cool. Cool. It's 1,000,000. We'll reach 1,000,000 people. Okay, so if all 30 of us say, hey, just one person a year, right? And we teach them to go make disciples too, in 15 years, we'll have all reached 1,000,000 people, right? That's assuming we don't grow, right? That's assuming we don't disciple more than one person, right? Now, if we don't teach those people to multiply and only the 30 of us do the discipling, you know how many people we'll reach? 450. So it's a lot different from 1,000,000, right? Same number of us, same number of people we're discipling every year. But our goal is, hey, we have to teach the people we disciple, to do the stuff we're talking about. And our impact will be way bigger than if we just do it all on our own. Okay, so I want to nerd out with you on that because this is so doable for us to reach a lot of people. If we just really teach people what's being said here to go out themselves, we model it for them, and then we teach the people we're discipling to go out and do it for themselves as well. All right, so I want to leave you guys with a challenge, and that is to think about who are you going to ask this week? Just ask them, can I pray for you? Right? A lot of people are open to that. And it can open the door to really meaningful or even spiritual conversations. So think about the people in your sphere of influence. We talked about that some last week too. Who are the friends, the family members, the coworkers, the neighbors, just the people you see on a regular basis. Maybe it's your cashier next time you go to the grocery store, right? Just say, hey, can I be praying for you? And then just see what they say, right? Offer to pray for them. Maybe you take the conversation a little further, maybe not. But I'm going to give you a minute to just think, who are three people this week you want to share with and ask, hey, can I pray for you? So take a couple minutes. Think of those three people. If you still have your paper, you can write it down. I don't have a fancy handout this week. Or if you want to type it in your phone, who those people are going to be. But take a minute to think about, who are those three people you just want to offer to pray for this week? All right, if you're not done, feel free to keep thinking. We're going to take communion in a moment. Before we do that, I'm just going to put in another plug for the prayer walk this Saturday. I'm going to be there. I'm going to take some of our kids. But it's just going to be another opportunity to gain some hands-on experience and get some training with other people. And I find that that really helps me when I go out and I have other people to see their style and have them model it for me. And also, I'm not alone. We talked about that in our DBS, right? Jesus sent them out 2 by 2, right? And so you have that support of other people going with you and learning on the journey.